Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kate Thompson Live. You know, a lot of dizziness going on with me these days. A lot of things happening and in the world. And in, I'm quite sure, my life and your life, and we're going to be talking to a number of things. First of all, you know, by the way, Kate Thompson Live, and we have been on the radio now, I guess, how many years have I been on the radio?
Good couple of years.
No, good couple of years? Are you kidding? My daughter, Lisa Payne, is sitting with me, and she is the co-host. And we have, who do we have on the air ready to go with us on the air?
One of my co-hosts.
Who's the co-host on the air? Hello, hello. You're on Kate Thompson Live. Either Byron or...
Well, happy New Year to you, Kay.
There we are.
And Lisa, I mean, it's really nice to be back on board and be alive in 2019. I'm currently in Washington, D.C., so we got all around the world. Yes, I'm here in the swamp, as we call it. So I'm trying to help train the swamp, Kay. Yeah.
Well, I was just watching a person. I was watching the key person of the swamp.
Oh, my
just now
goodness. I know there's lots to talk about, and certainly with the new year, I think this is a transitional year for all that we have been engaged in. We see a lot of change happening. The Congress that's taking effect tomorrow is going to help make the change, and I'm looking for some really good things to happen as a result of putting a check and balance on all that's out of order. So happy New Year, Kate Thompson.
Well, anyway, I can't say Happy New Year because I don't feel that way because of, family. The death of the family. I can't talk about it right now. However.
Okay, well, my condolences. You know that.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. I want to say hello to my family in Bermuda. I know they're probably listening in. But we'll get back to that at another time. It's still a very painful thing that has happened. However, let me see. Listen, Trump. Every time I think of Trump, I want to regurgitate. Okay? This is a whole new area. We're looking at the whole Washington political scene and the political, stuff that's going on. The man has some balls loose in his head. He is absolutely insane. And anyone who says or thinks it differently, should have their own insanity checked, really. This man has so closed down the government. How do you do that? How do the people in America, but how do certain other Americans allow this to happen in the United States of America? He is an absolute disaster.
Yes, he is. He's a disgrace to our democratic ideals. He's a disgrace to being the chief commander-in-chief to uphold the Constitution and all of its laws. And for a person who's got 17 indictments already up against him, he will be impeached. He's going to face charges of impeachment for treason, obstruction of justice, money laundering, emoluments, violations, you name it. He's broken all 10 commandments as far as I can remember so far. So, I mean, he's just a very evil person. And for him to shut down the federal government, the government in which keeps our country operating, not one person, a government of the United States. And we established our authority over all 50 states and the commander-in-chief after winning the Civil War. So we've got to restore constitutional law in this order right now. And I believe that we're about to see some real heavy changes go through because the stuff, as they say, has not really hit the fan as it's about to. So buckle up, Kay. It's going to be something to witness, and we'll either emerge out of this on the best side of history, or our country will go down.
Yeah, we're going to merge and we're going to be supreme. But I
That's
think
right.
this is Wayne Gilman, our other partner, on the line right now. Wayne Gilman, are you there?
Happy New Year to everyone.
Happy New Year, Wayne.
Yeah. Okay. Just, you know, sitting very patient, or trying to be patient about what's about to unfold. I want to remain optimistic. I hope the country does not go down, but, you know, I really feel, you know, this is an all-time low when it comes to Trump. I mean, the insensitivity, the lack of caring from the, you know, people that basically he's trying to rally to his core base, you know, the federal employees, you know, saying and had the audacity to say a couple of days ago that he had the support of most of them. What about the poor guy who can't meet his rent payment or his mortgage payment or put food on the table for his children because the government is shut down? And we're yet to see the impact of these services. I mean, if it drags on another week or two, it's really going to hit home, you know. It's just unfortunate.
You know,
it's
Wayne,
so
one
hard
of the things that history.
Excuse me,
yes,
John Fire. It's so hard to believe that Donald Trump is still alive, okay? Because he is the devil incarnate. How does a person like that exist, okay? I keep hoping the worst for him, and you hate to say that, but I do. You know, and I won't say it really what I really think, you know, and how it should happen. But it's just I can hardly talk about it. Okay, it is so awful. But listen, you know, it's going to be changed because the fact that this means that there are changes in taking place right now. It means that we now have 120 members of females that are going to be serving in Congress or in the Senate. And
it's a more diverse
representative, right?
Yes.
Yes.
It's a more diverse representative, you know, that we've had in Congress, I think. You know, and what we...
They'll be sworn in tomorrow, right?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Well, let me just, you know, a lot of... We have a first Muslim woman who's going to be sworn in, the first Somalian American... And then we have the first Pakistani American, and the first Native American. Now it's about damn time, okay? And the first Latino, okay?
And the youngest representative is, as we know, Cortez.
Yeah,
from New York.
Right, from the Bronx.
So, So this is a grouping of women. And a more congressional and younger, you know, group of women. And these seats will be filled by this diverse group, and I think that many more to come, all right? And, oh, wait a minute, Alexandra Cortez. She's the youngest woman who's just elected to Congress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the general... The diversity in Congress at this particular point, on the rise, even soon more to come, you know, is encouraging, to say the least. Comments?
I agree. The thing is, I just think it's just a matter of time in terms of having their presence felt. And, you know, I think the biggest thing that Trump is really worried about right now is the Mueller investigation, you know, what will come out of it. You know, his back is up against the wall, and all those spineless Republicans who seem to be in his hip pocket, they're going to be exposed for who they are and what they're worth. And the saber rattling has already begun. What's his name? Romney, who feels he's bulletproof in Utah, has already started, saying things against Trump. And I mean, things that we already knew. And not to say that he's a paragon of virtue himself, but compared to what we're dealing with, I could see him being in the office because he understands, you know, what it's about. But we still have a hard road ahead of us because I'd like to see the Democrats unify. I mean, I'd like to see that you know, that there's no differences between the old guard and the new guard. We have to really see what is at stake. And not so much think about 2020, but think about the conditions that, that prevail right now that this man has done
exactly.
in 2 years, you know, with the Supreme Court. You know, thank God Ruth Ginsburg is still breathing, you know, because that would
mm-hmm.
have been another move. And, you know, and I think that was the motivation, you know, God bless her that it, at her age that she could still hang in there and still wants to make a difference. You know, there's
exactly.
no talk of retirement.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know. But we still have a long way to go because this guy needs to be, he needs to be brought to his knees. He needs to. To, you know, he needs to feel pain. I mean, it's just too simple for him just to be, you know, whisked away, impeached. I mean, he needs to do time for the things that he's done, you know, if they could find out and determine that, you know, just for the stuff that he said and done, you know, to people in New York all these years. You know, I'm just so glad that the Attorney General's looking into it, the one who's transitioning now and the one who's going to be, you know, is looking into the business practices of Trump. And again, I go back to that one time I met one of the Central Park Five, and
yep.
The pain and the suffering that he talked about, having to spend all those years in prison, and to think that, you know, Trump did not skip a beat, that he still maintains his stance about what happened that day, and it's already been proven, you know, that
yeah, and
these
you know
kids
what?
Went
I'm,
to jail innocently.
I'm so glad you brought up the Central Park Five because the fact that we were on air together. Of course, you know that as the big deal head of the news department. Of course, you know that. But I had a special interest in that, as you know. Here,
right.
this idiot. Took out a full page ad, and he had that the police, he was calling for the police to arrest the Central Park Five. These were five young black males who were running and having a good time, as they usually did in Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
And some woman, unfortunately, was molested in the park, or you know. Raped in the park, and that was an awful situation. But Donald Trump, the present president of the United States of America, indicted these young boys, and how many years did they spend in jail?
I would say almost 20 years from what I recall gentleman saying, yeah, you know, before. And the victim, unfortunately, was comatose for quite some time, and it wasn't
mm-hmm.
until that DNA evidence, you know, which was relatively new at the time that
yep.
they discovered that she, you know, her, I mean, the their innocence, you know, and she was able to put together, once she came to herself, a comprehensive documentation of what exactly happened to her, and that was it. But you know, we also have to be reminded that, you know, Donald Trump's current personal attorney, Rudolph Giuliani,
yeah,
was also
idiot.
Mayor at the time when this thing happened, you know. And look at the two of them again.
Mm-hmm. And Giuliani has always been an idiot. How did he get elected to the office,
yeah,
you know?
It just amazes me.
I was so furious. I kind of took it personally because these young guys, you know, oh, wow. Anyway, it's amazing how, you know, how painful that is, that because that was a terrible period, these young boys.
How do you think that is going? What does everybody think about the when those new people get sworn in tomorrow?
But
what do you think the future, you know, is going? What can you see the future going? How is it going? Do you think they'll be able to shut Trump down or what? And the Republicans? What's your opinion on that?
Byron? Well, I feel that what's about to be engaged in our country is the principle of constitutional law. It's been obscured, it's been obfuscated by both sides on so many levels, But right now, the GOP and this current president have lied so much, have abused the Constitution so much. There's so, I mean, it goes up the food chain. It doesn't just stop with the current commander-in-chief. This goes all the way to the top of the GOP party. We must remember that when 2016, the grand old party, as we know as the Republican Party, at its convention in Cleveland, began to engage. It changed its entire platform to be accommodating to a Russian breakdown of all of the pieces that we had placed against Russia. The GOP party accepted Trump as its leader. It began to engage in trying to render the federal government completely and totally dysfunctional. And the
exactly.
only thing right now, the only thing right now, it was a strategy. And that's part of the conspiracy that has to be followed through, because the oligarchs, the Sinclairs, the Koch brothers, Trump, the billionaire club that comes off of Wall Street is
mm-hmm.
and has been engaged in trying to change the democracy and constitution of this United States, not just in D.C., but all across the country.
All over the country.
And so it's
right.
So it's time that it's coming to a reckon. You know, it's comeuppance is about to take place, and it's going to come up very big. Now, how is our country going to adapt to this? I think that's the biggest question that's on the table.
Yeah.
That's the elephant in the room, because at the point at which, if democracy is to sustain itself, right now the Supreme Court will have to go by constitutional law, not by party affiliation. And
yeah.
the things that are engaged right now are acts of treason that are so high, going all the way up to the top of the food chain, including the office of President of the United States, that there needs to be a complete and total overhaul. And I'm hoping Mueller's investigation opens up the door so we can begin to really take a good hard look at how this country has been in a coup d'etat by the right wing, by the oligarch. And we're in serious danger. But I think we can overcome it as the checks and balances system that we have in place will get a chance to really play its cards out all the way to the end. And the Democrats are going to have to stand tall.
Also, I'll tell you one thing. You know, in our communities, in different communities all across the country, you know, they should be organizing to protest in some way. Because
yeah.
it's not, you know, the America as we know it is not going to exist.
No.
It just will not exist.
Really,
Trump is one of the dangerous person on this planet at this particular point. He is dangerous.
Exactly. And
so
the
I don't know what people
are
waiting for. And he's just sitting there and doing nothing but causing, you know, the death of America.
Yes, yes. Okay, think of this. The Canada just passed legal marijuana. So where are the drugs going to come flowing from the most? If the wall is in Mexico stopping the cartels there, and we've got an open border for drugs coming across in Canada with respect to cheap prescription drugs, because you can
mm-hmm.
order by mail. You've got marijuana laws that Canada has now legalized marijuana. So the trade industry in that particular format will be increasing, not decreasing.
Yeah.
We got opioids in our small community that are running our emergency rooms crazy, and they're trying to take away the health care. So I mean, we're exploding and imploding almost
inside,
at the same
right?
time.
Imploding.
And race is at the base of a lot of this, and we're going to have to confront it once and for all.
Yeah,
I agree. I the only thing that bothers me is, and I'm glad you mentioned the marijuana business. I don't think that the states that have really, and it looks like New York, I know New Jersey's already leaning in that direction, or if not, they passed legislation saying that it's going to be approved. But I don't know if we are really ready to bear with the consequences of its legalization. You know, because there's such a thin line, you know, once you're in that hallucinogenic state, and then there are people who also engage in other forms of drugging, that I just wonder what will happen. I mean, to live in a city like New York, and Byron, you could attest to this, I could just, you know, it's bad enough with the alcohol and people with the drunk driving.
Yeah.
How do you patrol and stop people from, you know, engaging in this behavior? And I'm not saying that I'm a saint. I've done it myself, but I don't do it now, and I understand the medicinal properties that would be beneficial for those who are in chronic pain. But I just think that we need to think this thing through, you know.
Given the history of our country, here's the answer. Through prohibition, they began to tax it to the line in which we will allow prohibition to happen as long as the federal government and the states can get their piece of the tariff.
No question. Yeah.
So that's the answer to your question, because at the point at which the industry itself is going to engage, and this is something the United States has been involved in since Vietnam War, people think it was about the fall of Ho Chi Minh and take over in Vietnam. It was all about the drug trafficking trade from Southeast Asia. Who was going to be in charge of the money? And the same is going on right now with Afghanistan, and because the Afghanistan's chief crop is poppy. Poppy create the opioids that are infesting our community, are being given a free rein because the United States is in Afghanistan encouraging that government to grow the poppy.
But I also blame the pharmaceuticals, Byron, because they also play a role in basically propping up usage of this. I mean, I've never seen the opioid problem until, you know, it's reached the boiling point that it is today. I have a friend. I'm not even in contact with this person anymore because the state of her behavior once she's run out of that fix, and she does it because she's in chronic pain. She's not, you know, taking this Oxycontin and opioid material off the streets. She's going to a hospital to be treated monthly. But I can tell you, once they get into that hallucinogenic behavior where you can't even communicate because the pain is so excruciating, again, these drug companies need to be put in check. And, I hear people talking about, the healthcare issue, but I also think that's part of the component. You know, why are we doing
it? Of course it is. And how do you get out of it? Once we're in it, and we are in it, how do we get out of it? How do we stop it?
We're looking at the
possible destruction of the United States of America, really.
Exactly.
We're on the brink of a very serious and deathly thing. It's worse than any bomb. You don't even have to bomb the place. You know, just wait.
That's true.
You know?
Well, the history of the country.
Destroyed.
The history of the country suggests that they'll go by way of calling it, it's already called nonsense tax. And they'll tax it just like they tax gasoline and alcohol and cigarettes. And remember, Brown and Williamson, Reynolds Tobacco, all of the major companies invested in marijuana technology so that you really comprehend how it began to change. Remember, cigarettes had a standard look to them. Then all of a sudden you got Virginia Slims. Well, Virginia Slims and all the other cigarettes began to take on the look of a rolled joint, a rolled marijuana cigarette. And it's ultimately the industry itself is why the decriminalization of marijuana laws, and why we got right now, they got this thing in Colorado, y'all. They got dispensary machines, like you can go up and get a Coca-Cola, you can go up and get a bag of weed from a dispensary machine. In Las Vegas, the shops are already there. All across the country, you've got these shops being set up, and who's getting their fair share of it? The state and federal government. The tax-based laws. But here's what's interesting. they're making so much money of it, of the industry itself in a state like Colorado, the state itself is giving a rebate back to its citizens because the coffers are overflowing with money.
Oh, my God.
Well,
yes, this is what's going on, Wayne. So you asked a question, and the state and the government have their hands already set to play the ace that they've been waiting to play, and it's ultimately control of the market. It will become an IPO on the federal. Commodity on the stock exchange. Okay.
I still maintain that law enforcement has not figured out their piece with respect to this. I still think I'm not saying the monetizing of it and legalization is one thing. I think all these people who, went to jail and spent years in jail for just a nickel bag of pot or something like that, it's just saddens to think that their lives were compromised by something that was considered archaic. But
I still maintain this.
And that's another aspect of it. What do you do with the people who are in jail and then went in jail for the having marijuana or some drug in their position? What do you do with it?
Now that it's
legalized, open the jails and let them out.
And that's what they're,
and then
and
what?
That's what they're trying to do. I mean,
but
I know in New York they're trying to do that.
But here's something to consider. Back in the 40s, When the United States of America engaged in World War II, they legalized the growing of cannabis to make hemp, to make rope.
In 1942?
It was all across them. In the Midwest, you had rows and rows of corn and wheat fields and hemp, which was the male cannabis, the male plant of the marijuana plant was used to create hemp, which was used by the military in late World War I and World War II. Now, what has the United States engaged in was in the decriminalization of it was the female plant of cannabis, which was the grown as hemp. That became the drug that they were against. Very much the same way, you got to understand, during the Civil War, heroin, and by way of morphine, was the new drug in the medical field of operation in a war. So that when people were getting amputated, they weren't going by the old Western method of drink some whiskey to try to relieve the pain. Morphine became the drug used by the military because it was introduced as the new manner in which to do operations on the field in the battle of war. That's how this country has been involved in drug trafficking and involved in the drug trade for quite some time. They've been trying their best to figure out how to legalize it, which is that what prohibition and alcohol did. And then you had the rise of the Chicago mobsters, the Kansas City mobsters, who were doing the bootleg. But hell, we've been doing bootleg
that was
for
early
a long
on.
Time. Come on now, making corn whiskey down in Virginia and Tennessee and Kentucky. Folks been running mills and stills in there up in the woods for a long time. But the government had to get a hold of the industry because it was getting out of control. And remember,
and they wanted to monetize it.
They wanted to monetize
it. Beneficial to their finances, the people in power. Sure.
Remember, if you really want to know the history, look at the movies Godfather 1, 2, and 3, and I'm telling you that whole story from alcohol
to
drug trafficking is right there in front of you. They tell the whole story.
Right. And you remind me also of the movie that Denzel Washington starred in. And I want to say it was American Gangster. I could be wrong. But, he was Vietnam. He had contacts.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. I can't think of the name of the film. But every
American
once in a while it shows up on cable. It's a great film. And talks about what happened in Vietnam and how he was able to turn Harlem into a thriving drug business, and unfortunately at the backs of our people. You know.
Bumpy.
Bumpy Johnson.
Bumpy Johnson.
Right.
They're
and
just drug dealer or
right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Gangster.
You know.
But that's during the Renaissance.
Right, right, right. And the thing is that I guess every era has undergone something like this. But I mean, I see the benefits of monetizing it, and if like they're trying to see that as a source of improving the subways and the bus transportation system in New York City. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think the governor of New Jersey is saying the same thing, that any money that's coming out of the legal sale of marijuana will go towards the coffers to improve mass transit in this region, which is sorely needed. You know,
well,
here's
the major problem here's the major problem of using nonsense taxes like alcohol, sex, drugs, and the industry itself, is that what you're doing is you're putting the responsibility of maintaining the integrity and quality of life issues on the citizens and not the corporations who are coming in,
exactly,
getting the tax breaks, who are the ones who are manufacturing the drugs and stuff
Are
being poured back into our community. But you see that then it's like, let's legalize gambling. Let's legalize football gambling, baseball gambling. Let's legalize Atlantic City. Let's go to the casinos in the Cherokee Mountains, the Indians and the Iroquois. And let's put the base of stabilizing our communities and our infrastructure on gambling, on lotto, on alcohol, on marijuana taxing. You see, so that's the fallacy. And then when you want to bring in IBM and Xerox and the technology industries, you know, you want Mr. Boosie and Kia in your backyard providing jobs, you're giving them all the tax breaks to come in. And then when they close down their businesses because the sales of a tariff is engaged like we got right now, you start to have all of our major industries start shutting down because they can no longer afford to maintain. So they'll hire cheap labor overseas, like Nike.
Oh, yeah.
Go overseas.
And
hire
you will
cheap
slowly,
labor,
you will,
and, that's right.
You will slowly see the deterioration of our city.
Exactly.
Because you will see the people on the streets. You will see them in the alleys. You will see them all hung over. And because
of
a drug that has been legalized by the very government, who should have never had legalized it in the first place.
First place.
And
thank
who should
you.
Never
That's
have
right.
never had to have had it grown. But they couldn't know, you know, the result of it, of course. But, you know, politicians and people people that see that money, you know, is the head of the evil whole thing, you know, it makes me sick to think of this. But so many people, were hung out and strung out during those times.
And what happens is then you have your federal government, like this president right now, wants to improve our infrastructure, which is exactly what Congress should do. But guess how he's figuring how they're going to raise the money to pay for the infrastructure? Not from corporate America. They want to raise the tax on gasoline so that you can be paid for.
And that's not all.
Thank you. Hello.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
property taxes, everything.
It's insane to play that kind of economic game, because ultimately it's doomed to failure. The trickle-down concept does not work. And this is more of that voodoo economics that they're trying to engage in right now. They gave us a tax break of all the rich people recently, and it ballooned the deficit to $21 trillion instantly in less than a year.
And every leading economist worth his salt said this before it went down. And Orange Man went along with the program, knowing the impact it was going to have. I don't see where jobs are coming back to the state.
No.
You know.
And they're cooking the books, I'm telling you guys.
Let me tell you,
this is one of the ways, all that talk about 3.4% unemployment. Well, if your unemployment is only significant to temporary jobs, we're not talking about full-time employment. And so now we got a situation where the stock market is starting to tank, and you know what's going to come next. In order for that to
we're going to be engulfed into a recession. We are going to slowly start seeing more people out on the street.
Yes,
more
exactly.
People who are homeless, more people living on the street, in the
yep.
corners, in the alleys, out of their
yep.
minds.
Yep.
They can't afford a drug, so therefore they can't afford to support their families. This is going to be, it seems almost like the destruction of America based on
yes.
this, with the help of
this. It's all
of
about
this
greed.
Idiot.
Yeah. It's all
in
about
the,
greed. Yeah. These people are very
in the
greedy.
White House, allowing
greed.
This.
Oh, my God.
But it's not
yeah.
only him. It is not
no,
only
it's
him.
Not.
Because a whole
then,
lot of people are getting
think.
Rich off this weed, all right?
That's
and they're
right.
destroying the world, really.
Yeah.
What's going to be happening
in
the future?
The billionaire people don't even like Trump. They can't. They
mm-hmm.
can't stand him.
No, they can't
they
stand
never,
him. Mm-hmm.
They will never let him in their club. Okay.
Listen, Wayne. Remember when I was on the on the air? We were hearing about Trump a long time ago.
Yeah.
About his fanatics and all the kind of stuff. And it was unbelievable.
Well, chickens are coming home to roost now. I mean, all of his.
And I hope they roost his rear end.
Yeah, I hope it's all coming out in the open. It's just a matter of time. You know.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate. But I think, unless there's a turnaround in the next 2 years, I think you're absolutely right. The signs are already here where there's a decline. As you said, the stock market has not been stable.
Mm-hmm.
I can
mm-hmm.
tell you the real estate market, even in some of the most prestigious areas of the country where they figure that the home sales
beginning
would be up, it's beginning to
oh,
tank.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what happens. That's what happens.
Yep.
You got to prepare for it.
That's what happens.
That's right. So that
how do you prepare for
why,
that, though?
Well, I think you what you've seen in the midterm elections was part of the preparation to take it back. You see, we allowed a minority to run our government and they messed
mm-hmm.
it up. Now the majority
mm-hmm.
of the people, because no matter how big you think Trump's base and important it is, it's only 30%, if that much, of the voting population. That's not the majority of the country. So we have
mm-hmm.
to take it back. And unfortunately for us, we do not have the military power to take it back. We have to take it back by one man, one vote. We have got
that's
to
exactly
stick to
right.
the Constitution
there we go. There we go.
And its laws and how this country is supposed to run idealistically. And the more idealistically it will run,
and each of
the
us
better
has
it
to,
will sustain itself. Yes.
And each of us has to take a part, and
oh,
not
yeah.
support
Absolutely. Certain
people and certain things that are happening around in your community, because the communities
right.
are the first thing to see lines of people living in poverty, to see the lines of people getting food, lined up somewhere, and some people
yeah.
out, strung out in the parks, having had the drug, needs the drug, and have nowhere to go. Homeless.
Right.
There's going to be so much homeless. There's going to be so many people homeless. It's not going to be funny. And it's a terrible thing to think about. It's an awful thing to think about. But if it's not checked, this is going to be the destruction of America. And it's got to be checked somewhere along the line. Really? That's what it's leaning toward.
Very...
And somebody's going to get a kick in the butt. And all of a sudden, everybody's going to start waking up. And then things are going to be happening.
Right.
But I'm afraid that it has taken hold, and then it will be, all right, the next big thing, the cleaning up of it.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Oh, yeah.
That's the problem. It takes a tragedy before something happens.
Big
before
tragedy.
A change, yeah. It's sad. And something's got to be done.
Yeah, and the younger people, the children, don't even have a chance.
Well, I think, especially our children, we're being hunted in the streets right now. And this young girl who was shot and killed in Houston, Texas, male in a pickup truck, randomly
mm-hmm.
targeting
mm-hmm.
a car with four women in it. And one of the stray bullets kills the 7-year-old, however old it is. And
what do
we hear from the White House? Cricket. What do we hear from the Federal Bureau of Investigation and its internal systems? Cricket. So we've got a boiling pot of issues, humanitarian issues that are exploding like the Lethas, and I mean those two kids who got killed in the camps, and you know what I call concentration camps. Isn't that what happened with the Jews in Germany?
Oh,
that's right.
Exactly.
Okay, because they became death camps. And we can't turn our back on that. That's a reality that is staring us in the face. And what do we have from the politicians? Crickets. You know, that has
got to stop. Do you guys remember when I was telling you about the film that I saw of the Germans, you know, this old film in some library,
mm-hmm.
you know, in New Jersey. It wasn't really in a library. I had, you know, somebody had some old film. And there was a man there who was, it was Hitler. And Hitler was urging with the soldiers around him for the Jewish people to get on the conveyances. I think they were trains or something or other.
Yeah, on the trains.
And
right.
And I think I told you this before, and I remember this film because it was a private showing of old films, you know. So
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
I was doing a couple of papers for, you know, college in those days. And when I saw Donald Trump, he looked to me like Hitler. And I've been calling him Hitler ever since then because that picture of that soldier, of that vicious Hitler, came to mind when I saw Donald Trump. Go figure.
Well, he's done some very bad things, for sure.
He's got to be stopped.
With a tribunal, he's got to be stopped. And
yeah.
I think we're about to see the confrontation that took place a couple of weeks ago in the Oval Office with him and Schumer and Pelosi was significant. That's the first
public
instance.
But it's
got to
be worse than that.
It will be, but that was the first public instance in which we saw Donald Trump backed
mm-hmm.
up into
mm-hmm.
a corner and showing
mm-hmm.
how incompetent that he really, really is and not really capable of running the country. It was a moment that was frozen and will be remembered for quite some time. And every time they get in that situation, they need to keep backing that boy up into a corner. So that ultimately he'll explode and he'll either resign in embarrassment or be taken out of office in a body bag. That's what
there
it
you
has
go.
To come down to.
Well,
it's okay.
I understand what you're saying,
Kay. I mean, I don't want to espouse that, but, you know, the bottom line is that I think he's going to work himself into a frenzy where he will be forced to resign because the man is not in his right mind. I mean,
I'm not saying, you know, just shoot him, but, you know, at least put him in a loony bin where he belongs. The man is out of his mind. He's crazy.
Yeah.
He is absolutely crazy.
And,
you know, he is filled with his own self-importance. Or, you know, he thinks he's greater than God.
Right.
And you don't have to, you don't get to keep those people on the street. You put them in where they belong.
Well, I hope
let him
that
get
happens
some
soon.
With Bob Wire. Jesus.
Well, I think I think Lisa asked a really important question. And Lisa, getting back to your question. But the question that she posed was what will happen. You see, and one of the things that the Obama administration really tried to do was reduce the amount of money going to the Defense Department. And because the Defense Department has so much money that all it is interested in is engaging in conflict. It will never find peace by way of its conflicts. And this president that went in, if y'all remember his first couple of weeks in office, he brought the Joint Chiefs of Staff in his office and he told them point blank, you run the military and all the affairs that you've got globally, and I'll take care of the economic and domestic stuff. And so the military, by way of its own floundering but in Syria, by way of its own floundering in Iraq, its own floundering in Afghanistan, and all of its hot spots, its own floundering with Saudi Arabia and Qatar and Yemen, and all of the conflicts that we're engaged in militarily are as a result of nobody putting a check and balance on the military. Trump is not the person to do that. He just gave them a free pass. Go do what you want to do as military, and I'll take care of the
rest. Okay. Look, you guys. Okay, fine. Dump Trump. Now, let's
dump him.
Talk
yeah.
about – yeah, dump him. Who cares? Listen,
yeah.
Old movies. I have been watching old movies.
Which old movie did you see recently? Yeah,
well,
one, Kay.
Color Purple.
Oh, good one.
Wait a minute. Listen to this. Tarzan.
which one?
Tarzan.
The original? With Johnny White.
Johnny White.
I'm telling you, old film. I mean, old channel. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I think we have to put you at match.com, Kay. Find somebody to share your entertainment interest.
Oh, my goodness.
And then there,
I know Reese is going to kill me to say that, but, hey, you know.
Listen, and then there was one about this big gorilla. What was his name?
King Kong?
Which big gorilla?
King Kong. Yeah,
King Kong!
You got Mighty Joe Young.
Yes, that's
King Kong.
I haven't seen Mighty Joe Young yet. But that's
also
about that big gorilla, right?
Right. The most recent one was with Dwayne, the bodybuilder. Johnson,
yeah.
And that one was called Rampage, where they had an albino gorilla that went out of
control.
Oh, really?
Albino.
An albino gorilla, yes.
I guess that does exist, I gather. I don't know, you know.
But now, really, I've been watching these movies, and I said, what? But I'll tell you one thing, they were very creative in those days. They came up with some doozies, and some of the topics were, I've been so fascinated with this stuff. And I'm thinking, boy, I need a break. You know? But, you know, and then I envisioned Trump. I envisioned Trump, his big fat belly, and this gorilla on the top of his head. So.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
I was crushing him, so... What a thought. I mean, he's got me crazy, you know, so.
Jeez. Yeah, he's got every, and I think that's the thing, and I also think the media plays a hand in this, too, even though, you know, the media tries to stay on top of it, but I think they fuel just as much of the hysteria that goes on, you know.
Well, you're talking about
yourself,
Wayne, because you're in the media.
I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, and you know, it saddens me that so many journalists have been killed this past year. I had forgotten, because of the nonsense with Trump, how dangerous our jobs used to be at one time. I mean, I'm still glad to be, you know, a part of this thing. But, you know, it saddens me that, you know, innocent lives have been lost, that bombing in Annapolis, Virginia, with the newspaper company.
Yeah.
And, you know, we could go on and on. And a lot of it stems from the message we're getting out of this orange guy in the White House. You know, it's like everything goes back to him. So with the change in Congress, I'm hoping that at least the playing field will be leveled somewhat until he makes his exit or Mueller pulls the plug and say it's time is up.
When is Mueller supposed to be making that report?
Well,
you know,
that's the thing.
Wasn't he supposed to tie it up or something? Or can't you get the end of it? Well, the Republicans would like to see it tied up. Yeah.
You know, but, you know, the deal is, I think it's coming to an end soon, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know how soon. I can't, you know, I mean, that's the thing about Mueller. He's been so silent about everything
that's going on.
Good for him,
because I think that's key to this whole thing, you know, for him to not reveal what he has found.
Exactly.
You know? So,
yeah. But once it comes out, oh, boy.
Yeah. But so Trump will never be able to exist again. Okay? So,
well,
and I think Mueller may have the answer. I'm not sure. But it's just such a dangerous situation. I'm You know, you laugh about it, but really, this is not really funny.
Well, you know, the thing that really gets to me, Kay and Byron, I thought that the Electoral College was specifically designed to preclude populist
who's doing
people
that with
like
paper?
Trump. Beg your pardon?
I said somebody doing
it was
that with
paper. To stop that from happening. You know, I thought that there was a system of checks and balances that if people of his ilk were on a periphery trying to think that they could sway an election, that there was a system in check to eliminate someone like that. But, you know, Trump played his cards well. I have to say, you know, being a media star did a lot for him. I mean, it just basically enhanced his presence. And you know, anyone who grew up in the ghetto, in the urban—I shouldn't say ghetto, but in the urban cities—and they're familiar with the game called the dozens. You know, he mastered that because he was able to take all the primaries and promote his agenda, and he just knew how to talk. But you know, you just can't bully your way through everything, and I think. Pretty soon he's going to meet his match. You know, there will be some Democrat who's going to come forward, or some candidate will come forward and put an end to this hysteria if he doesn't do it himself. Self-destruct.
It's taken too long.
I agree. But I try not to let him rent too much space. The only thing that I'd like to see right now is some changes, and I don't know how long it's going to take to roll things back to how they were because he's had such an impact, you know, with the federal government in terms of certain programs, you know, the fact that the Supreme Court is now more leaning right than left or balanced or centered. You know, all those things are things that I concern myself with because whether he's there or not, look what he did. And then the entitlement programs, I'm certain that's still on his horizon if he gets, you know, if he manages to get through the next 2 years. Lord only knows what will happen with that. You know, we're talking about the homeless problem. It's a national problem. It's not just something germane to the certain urban areas of the country.
Yeah.
You know, it's unfortunate.
But you know, it's amazing because I keep thinking that it's a bad dream, you know, that somebody so evil, you know, actually exists in this same day and age. I keep thinking that he's going to disappear, and to think that he's real, and a guy like him, he's not even a guy. I don't think he's even really human. You know, maybe he's a figment of our imaginations or something. Maybe he won't go away.
Well, the one thing that's about to happen toward him is the rebuke of this notion of shutting down the government. Watch what happens. The dynamics of the dialogue are about to change so that his shutting down the government and his demanding the money for the wall is tantamount to holding the government hostage.
Hostage,
and
exactly.
One of the things that we do not do, according to our Congress, we do not negotiate with terrorists, and this is a hostage terrorist takeover. And so we're about to rebuke him. If they keep that level of language going, I guarantee this showdown will stop almost immediately, and he's not going to get his wall. But we're going to have to start calling it being held hostage.
And to think that he was already talking about trying to reduce the amount, I think he was looking for $5 billion and the Democrats were only looking for like 1.5. And he had Pence hanging around the White House trying to see if he can get in contact with Schumer or Pelosi, said that he'd be willing to accept 2.5. I mean, what kind of nonsense is this?
Yeah,
you know,
because day he's hot, the next day he's cold, and we really, that's the sign of a person who's very insecure and does not know what the hell he's doing, and that's why we need to get him out of office ASAP.
Listen, he's not insecure. He's insane. He is absolutely insane.
That. Yeah.
I tell you,
he is.
Listen, he is Hitler incarnate. Hitler was crazy. So is Donald Trump. And just think of the kids anytime you could think of children and their families, you know, coming to another country, you know, to live, you know, to have a life, and then you're going to, you know, destroy children, destroy families. You know, it's almost unbelievable. It really is. It's very painful. You know, we can laugh at it, but the point is, these little kids, you know, two of them died already.
Trying to escape, you
know.
And here's something else we got to really be careful, because, and we're in the media, but listen, what's the definition of a migrant? Why are they calling these people migrants instead of, you know, because when you call a person a migrant, that's a person who's coming
them.
To get a job. It's coming across to get a job. He's dehumanizing them.
Well,
because these people are, and it's not just that they're seeking asylum. They are individuals who are escaping regimes that are pitiful, that we are looking like we're backing. And we have to, once again, migrant is a person who's come to get a job. Think about that.
They
and
are,
every time they say that, use that word, they're denigrating the value of this individual.
They are mothers and fathers.
And it's cold language by certain media houses.
Listen, because we're running out of time, man. Guys, we're running out of time. They are mothers and fathers and grandparents and children and babies,
and children.
Little babies.
Thank you.
Okay?
Yeah.
And all they want to do is trying to live in a world, trying to find a place to live. You know, you mean trying to escape something so terrible that they had to, you know, walk it out, try to get away from it. That's all.
Right.
And then you have, I don't know what, how Trump, where he came from, but I'm telling you, it's an evil force that he came from. He's not human. He really is not human. I believe that.
Yeah.
Well, you could credit his father for that.
Like I said, he's created crimes and he's broken every one of the Ten Commandments. Think about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
I mean, the first five are about being about valuing God. The second five are about the stealing, adultery, coveting thy neighbor's goods, the killing, murder. He's done that. I mean, come on now, y'all.
Yeah, no,
this
you're
is
right.
The person who's okay.
And I never thought of it that way, Byron. But you're right. I'm not saying that I should be excused.
I ain't perfect. No,
those commandments.
Not...
I don't want to get started. And giving out my revelations at this point in time, but you know, it amazes me what he's gotten away
watch
with.
Watch it, Wayne.
That's right.
Yeah, I know.
That's right.
Watch it, Wayne.
Hey, Wayne, you gotta go take Shaggy's defense. It wasn't me.
Wayne,
we've known each other.
I'm gonna go dunk in it.
Wayne, we've known each other for a long time. No, you don't want to go there.
No. I lived in Creighton now. This is 2019. There might have been
funny.
A time, but, you know, I'm not. Even in my past, I let's not even get started with that. You know, this has been a great show we've been talking about. You know, I don't want to get into no philosophical discussion about my life. Yeah. You know,
we're ending
on a
light note.
I think we're at the end now, right?
I don't know. Let me see it on my phone. I don't
know. Please, because I don't have a clock in front of me.
What is it? It's 8:58.
Yeah, that's why.
My
I realize why I'm talking like this. I didn't have anything
for dinner. Listen, my cell phone lady is telling me just that it's 8:58. Okay.
Yeah.
And
okay.
But anyway, listen, thank you guys for this, you know, because I could not have done it without you, you know. But Eric is, you know, he's under the weather a little bit. So am I, really, because something has happened in my family that is horrendous. So my daughter, anyway, I'll tell you about it a little later, John.
Okay.
In Bermuda.
Well, peace and love always. Yeah.
And I send my good wishes to my family in Bermuda, and I'll see you soon.
There you go.
A couple of days. All right. All right. Thank you, guys.
God bless
you. Thank
you.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All the best.
K-Tom's Alive, everyone. K-Tom's Alive. Join us every Wednesday from 8 until 9 for another heated discussion and hot information. Over and out.